Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610 on a football Friday. Happy Friday to everyone out there. And look, we got the most annoying person or player in the NFL, and this poll was, I guess, created in the perspective of fans. It was 3,000 fans okay. That are NFL fans that pretty much ranked, I guess, a couple people that was the most annoying players in the NFL, and we saw him last night as he tried to push away his head coach. Because I guess he is not a hugger. And that video in slow motion looks so funny to me.
It's so hilarious. Yeah. If you weren't watching Thursday Night Football, see, I didn't call it Monday Night Football. That's called progress. Yeah. But if you were watching Thursday Night Football last night, after Aaron Rodgers does the thing, throwing a touchdown pass, him and they go up two scores at that point. I think that was when it was 14-3. And he's over to the sideline. Robert Saleh looks like he's going in for a hug. And looked like Aaron Rodgers put his two hands into the chest like, nah. And he kind of stone-faced him. After the game, he seemed to be explaining that Robert Saleh, not much of a hugger, supposedly, typically. And so he didn't expect him to go in for a hug, and sometimes they do that. I don't know what to necessarily believe, but it looked awkward. Like, mm-hmm. seeing it happen in the moment, I was like, wait, what? Especially because, like, he seemed to be going in for the hug, like, the whole time. And then all of a sudden, it's hands-on. I was like, I don't understand what that is. Maybe that's just an unwritten language between them or unknown from us. Between them.
Yeah, so Aaron Rodgers was named the most annoying player in football according to a new poll of 3,000 football fans.
Not surprised.
He got 27% of the vote. Who came next? I'm glad you asked. Travis Kelce came in second with 17%, followed by Odell Beckham Jr. I'm shocked a lot of people hate or really find him annoying.
Why do people dislike Odell?
Like, my man ain't even on the field like that.
That's why I'm surprised he's still top three. I could see it a couple years ago. I don't know. I think it's like, what's the word?
Hateration?
Well, certainly part of it, but I think it's just like how all the stuff that came with it, whether it was like with the kicking net
thing,
all those things, I think like just so rubbed people away.
That's
why I'm surprised he's still top three.
Coming in next is Patrick Mahomes with 8%, and then followed by Dak Prescott at 5%.
I mean, I could see reasons for a lot of those, and I guess if you still harbor that with the Giants thing with, and then also I guess there's people that didn't like the way that it went down with him in Cleveland, rather, with the Browns, you know, that way that ended. Dak, it just feels like people are sick of hearing.
But it seemed like, it's funny you said that, because it seemed like after the Cleveland thing or during the Cleveland thing, they kind of felt sorry for him. Like he was stuck in jail or something, and once he got released, then ended up going to the Rams and winning the Super Bowl. I felt like a lot of people ended up feeling happy for him because it's like, ooh, you got out of that situation in Cleveland to win a Super Bowl now. So I'm shocked a lot of people still kind of feel some type of way about Odell Beckham.
I thought that's when he turned a corner in L.A. because he was like a little more humble, I guess. He accepted that he wasn't going to be the star. He's just part of the role. Played really well. Didn't cause any sort of obnoxious outbursts or problems. They won a Super Bowl.
Now, after that, he did go on the little tour of will he, won't he sign somewhere. Yeah, I do wonder if that then brought people back to the place where they were like, nah, I don't like him no more.
And I even thought about maybe the quick little date with Kim Kardashian. And I know I know they both was past their prime during that time, but I wonder if that kind of added to it as well.
That's true.
I do love how, like, it seemingly one of the universal things that'll get you on this list is we just see you too much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So they were like, Travis Kelce, sick of seeing you. Patrick Mahomes, sick of seeing you. Dak Prescott, really sick of hearing and seeing you.
Yeah.
Everything in life is best in moderation. And we're too much Kelce's right now. Jason Kelce on Monday Night Football. Ugh. What a tune out.
Yeah. Really? I've kind of appreciated getting an offensive lineman perspective. We don't get that nearly as much.
Yeah, but just everything about it. He's on Monday Night Countdown. He's in like the Italian sweatsuit dancing around.
Yeah, they're definitely playing it up a lot.
Yeah, then he's in the broadcast booth for two quarters.
Yeah, like, walking
big. Come on.
Yeah, they going to work his butt off.
Yeah.
But speaking of annoying NFL players, we actually have a list of the most annoying visiting fans. So this was also another poll to add on to the poll. So number one, I think we all could probably guess this one, right? Can we say it on three?
Most annoying visiting fans. Who am I missing?
It's the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Dallas Cowboys. I felt like that was kind of obvious.
Yeah,
though,
that
right?
would have been my guess. Yeah.
I should have thought about it because they're everywhere, too.
They probably got the biggest fan base, everywhere. To be honest, and they all over the place.
Yep.
But they come in at number one. Number two, Philly, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, number three, and it's funny because all of these fan bases are obnoxious to me. So the Las Vegas Raiders,
yeah,
they come in number three. Number four is Green Bay. I feel like they're not really as like
obnoxious.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them. I think that some of this is again a lot of now. If you talk about obnoxious, I feel like Raiders fans is also because
they're a little scary too.
Exactly,
man.
There will be a fight. A fight will happen if there's enough Raiders fans around. I feel like that's a rule that's somewhere written in the bylaws of the NFL.
Yeah, and number five, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
A lot of them.
Yeah, they kind of remind me of Green Bay fans a little bit. They're a little more, they talk a little more smack, but I'm surprised the 49ers are not top five, man, because them fans are kind of, I put them up there with Raiders fans.
Do they travel, though?
I know. I don't really think of them, I guess, as one of the more popular fan bases like that on the road.
Because, I mean, there's definitely ones that has a little bit of history, so there's a pretty strong, sizable fan base, I guess, in some ways. But it just doesn't feel like they travel and take over places like some of these other teams do.
Yeah, they don't have that reputation. Which I guess is the same thing for the Patriots. I think Patriots fans are terrible, but same idea. Like, I don't know how much they infiltrate road cities and stadiums, especially nowadays.
I was amazed at how regional the Patriots remained even while they became very good. It still remained like if you're in that area, you're probably a fan. If you're not, not necessarily.
It's true.
Yeah, and as crazy as their run was, I know a lot of people tried to put them up there as the new America's team. They wasn't traveling around like Cowboy fans. Like, they might have been the better team throughout this whole decade, but they just wasn't like they weren't like Cowboy fans where they were just all over the place and they weren't really moving the needle like the Cowboys was.
But yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, fair.
Before I get to some tips to make your weekend longer, I got to give some props to my man Devin White. So Devin White, he was a healthy scratch last weekend. And the media actually asked him about that, and I think he gave a pretty cool and respectable answer.
I don't know. I think I've been through a lot of my life, good and bad, you know, open, public, private, and it just make you grow up, you know what I'm saying? You know, everything not going to always be in your favor, you know, but it's about how you respond, you know, how you handle yourself, but that's the only thing I can control, you know. I can't put myself in the game, but I can control my attitude, my effort at practice, and, you know, just my swagger in the building still, you know, coming here every day like a pro and handling my business, rather, you know. I feel like I got a son, he can cry when he don't get his way, you know, that's for him to do, not me, you know. I got to set that example.
I kind of respect that, man. And look, I have no idea why he was a healthy scratch, but he kind of came in there as a professional. We've seen a lot of people that don't really get the targets they should be getting, and they kind of, I don't want to say cry, but they kind of make a big fuss out of it. But I felt like this was a real, really respectable answer from Devin White.
Yeah, it was great. Very professional. I mean, sorry, Bryce Young. You're no longer the top quarterback in Carolina and not the best audio we played today either anymore.
Wow.
Yeah? Demoted there, too. That was a great answer from him. I appreciate that. And I like the self-awareness, not these guys that are pointing the finger at others. That old expression, like one finger's pointing out, three are pointing back at you. I like that he owned it, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, man, and that sounded like somebody. He mentioned that he's, you know, a father. Like, there's a level of perspective that comes in there. And I always just hope to have that level of perspective whenever I'm in a situation like that, right? Like, that's really the big thing is, do you have that perspective? Because ultimately, I think that perspective is what helps you get out of it. I just, it's kind of wild how quickly football happens to you, or sports in general happen to you. Because it was not too long ago where it felt like Devin White was one of the really, really good linebackers in this league.
I felt like it was last year.
Right? It feels like, well, last year, didn't he get his job took, right? Like, at a linebacker's position. I thought that was also one of those things, right? And then now you look at a team, admittedly, with the Eagles, that they have been struggling when it comes to linebackers, and he's in there down on the depth chart. Like, life comes at you fast in the NFL and in sports. and he is 26 years of age. I was like, how old is he again? Not that old to already be in a place where it feels like he's on the precipice of this, or on the perimeter, rather, of what's happening here.
Yeah, salute to him, man, because a lot of the times we see people say, I don't know, ask the coach.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's above my pay grade.
And especially with that coach there, right? Like, yeah. Hey, talk to Sirianni about that. I don't know.
Yeah, so salute to him, man. So I ran across this list about, the weekend is here, is Friday.
Yes, sir.
And I think the one thing I've been going through lately is really short weekends, man. Sometimes it just feel like everything, like the whole weekend just ran by in the snap of a finger.
Right.
But I ran across this list on how to make your weekend a little bit longer. I want to see if y'all kind of agree with this, or y'all think this is kind of baloney.
Okay. I'm interested if what was texted in will be on there. 979, it said, I know how to make the weekend longer. Just take a day off like Lopez. So is taking the day true. Off on there?
It's actually not on there.
All right.
Okay. Maybe I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, maybe.
So the first one I ran across was do your weekend chores during the work week. It make it a little easier to accomplish if you're working from home. But that way your weekend is for you and not the endless, you know, chores you got to do. You think that's kind of fair?
I guess so, but it's kind of like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Like, you're still doing it. You're just doing it at a different time.
Yeah, but at least the weekend feels more full because it's full of things that you actually want to do instead of things that you absolutely need to.
Yeah, I get, but then, like, your Tuesday's full. Like, you just got off of work. You want to go relax on a Tuesday, not go trim the hedges or whatever it is you got on your list.
I guess for me, that's already kind of the way I try and kick it, especially because some of those chores just get easier during the week. And of course, I have the great privilege of having a job where, you know, I can go to the store at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday when it's not a lot of people at the store and avoid traffic and do that. Whereas if you go to the store at 3 p.m. on a Saturday, it's a different experience. You know what I mean? So, like, it definitely shifts it up a little bit. But if you have that available to you, I do think it helps a little bit. I agree with that one.
Yeah. What about this one? This one, a lot of people might be a little upset with this one, but wake up early every day. You'll get more out of your days and don't mess up your sleep schedule for the rest of the work week. How you feel about waking up early on the weekend?
Makes sense, but I'm not a morning. I'd rather just stay up late, get more time out of the day at the end of the day.
Yes. Agree. I'm becoming more of a morning person, and I don't like it about myself. I'm going to be completely honest. I enjoy being able to just wake up whenever and then, you know, take it late into the night when I need to. But
exactly.
Hey. All right. What about this one? Make plans for Friday night. You'll get in something fun to kick off the weekend. So Saturday rolls around. You still feel like you had two weekend days left. Just don't get too wild and stay out late Friday night. Otherwise, Saturday will be a throwaway day.
That's true. Yeah, you got to walk that fine line. No, I love that one. Because a lot of times people use Friday night almost as like a recovery. If they work, you know, 9 to 5 or a tough job, and you just want to go home and unwind.
Yeah.
Get something out of that Friday night. Get something out of, start the weekend on Thursday. Do something Thursday night and really kick off.
They should make a weekend start at Thursday, though.
Yeah.
Thursday should be like the new Friday.
I like what you're doing. We're officially creating the In the Loop lobby for a 3-day weekend.
Yeah.
I like that. Four-day work week.
And I honestly feel like that because especially work day, especially around here, the office is totally closed on Fridays.
Like, why am I here?
Exactly. And the last one is split your weekends between doing stuff and doing nothing. Meaning you spend Friday and Saturday doing things like hanging out with friends, errands, and chores, and then Sunday do nothing as a way to reset.
Okay.
Hey, to me, watching the NFL from 12 to 12, that's doing something. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, it is, especially when you have the Texans. I think that also makes it a little different for those of us that are like big-time sports fans, that, hey, man, it's easy for my weekend to go quick if for no other reason. Yeah. Then Saturday at 11, stuff's on to watch. Mm-hmm. Sunday at 12, stuff's on to watch. And that weekend can go real quick if you're not careful. So I appreciate the working around the edges, but to maybe help make it feel better. I might apply to a few of these. I think that might help.
Go ahead.
No, you good.
You got something to say?
You good.
I get us out of here on this. Okay. So Red Lobster is no longer in bankruptcy.
Hey, we're back.
So 35-year-old Damola Adamokun. I don't want to stereotype, but I'm guessing
he's Nigerian.
Nigerian, yeah. There we go.
Damola Adamokun. Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so he's the new CEO and promises for better service, better food, interior, but no more $20 unlimited shrimp on the standard menu. Said we's making a comeback.
Excellent.
Are y'all a Red Lobster type of fellas?
Not frequently, but I like the idea that it's there if I need to. You know what I mean? If I need to go get some Cheddar Bay biscuits, I like that it's over there.
Yeah, late lunchtime confession. I've never been to a Red Lobster.
Not once?
Never.
Oh, wow.
That's not surprising because, honestly, like, I used to always go to Red Lobster when I lived up in Cleveland, but we ain't really had that many seafood options.
Yeah.
So I used to always go there. Once I moved down here, I've been to Red Lobster once.
Yeah, Red Lobster doesn't mean a lot in Houston, when one of the great food towns in the world, to be fair. However, I remember when I was younger, like, I think I might have been, like, when I turned 15 or something, it's like I wanted to go to Red Lobster. Like, I want to have the opportunity to have something that's a little nicer, if that tells you a little bit about where I was. Like, hey, we get to go to Red Lobster, so I want to have that for
that was
people.
Like a date option too.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Ain't take her to Red Lobster.
That's right.
But yeah, salute the Red Lobster, man. Hopefully they can make a comeback.
As long as the Cheddar Bay biscuits are available. That's all I ask for. All right, that's Figgy's mixtape. Every 120, every weekday rather, at 120 here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. All right, continuing the Football Friday here, which is supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors. We're getting ready to hand it over to our fellas in the drive who are out at Adirondack Sports Bar at 920 North Shepherd. But before we give it to them, let's draft the weekend, as I like to call it. Me and Luke will go back and forth. Actually, if you want to jump in here, Fig, we could do that too. Okay. We're going to pick the various games of the weekend, NFL football or otherwise, that we are interested in and see what we come up with. We'll do that next.